This reading is Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. And it comes after the passage where Jesus was talking in the synagogue, and he had healed a crippled man. And he told the parable of the mustard seed. And then he went on through a town and a village, and he came up to Jerusalem. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Let us pray. Lord, speak to us beyond the words, beyond our understanding, beyond the boundaries of our horizons. Touch our lives with your universal, eternal Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. As we move through Lent, the readings increasingly take us towards the cross. There is a darkening of the days. There is a darkening of the imagery that comes through the gospel readings as we move through Lent. Jesus is agonizingly aware of the battles that he is going to be enjoining, that he's engaged in. For the disciples, they're thinking, "Yes, let's go into battle. You show them, Jesus, by these amazing works you do. You show them by your amazing capacity to speak, the compelling voice that you have to the crowds. You show them, and by this we will enter into the battle, and everyone will follow you, and we will be victorious." And on Palm Sunday, it looked as though that had actually come to pass. But there's a great irony in Palm Sunday, because a week later, the crowds are not shouting out, "Hosanna to him who comes in the name of the Lord." They're shouting out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And sometimes it looks like Palm Sunday is like a cruel charade, a parody. I'd like to suggest to you that Palm Sunday is just one more aspect of the battle. The battle is being fought now, in the daily round of our living, in the ordinary domesticity of our lives. The scriptures use a symbol, the great battle of Armageddon. The great battle is not 1,000 years off. It is upon us right now, where we are, who we are, what we are doing, and what is happening in our world. It is upon us every morning, every day, every encounter that you have with another human being and with your environment. You and I are called to follow Christ, to win this battle even in the face of Good Friday. I see that battle being played out in New Zealand's Golgotha moment of Friday, just gone. Jacinda Ardern, their Prime Minister, said, "For those of you who are watching at home tonight and questioning how this could have happened here, we, New Zealand, we were not a target because we are a safe harbour for those who hate. We were not chosen for this act of violence because we condone racism, because we are an enclave for extremism. We were chosen for the very fact that we are none of these, because we represent diversity, kindness, compassion, a home for those who share our values, refuge for those who need it, and those values, I can assure you, will not and cannot be shaken by this attack." Yesterday, at the United Reformed Church Eastern Synod meeting, Nigel Uden addressed the Eastern Synod meeting with the question, "What have you done with your baptism?" Nigel reminded us that our baptism does not leave us where it finds us. Our baptism puts us at odds with some other descriptions. And the question, "What have you done with your baptism?" addresses us in different ways. It is the beginning, a new step into life, into a new life, into a new identity. And that can be traced out in four different ways. Nigel suggested it to us. In our identity, in our purpose, in our energy, and in our hope. Our baptism puts us into union with a Christ-shaped hope. And those events that want to deflect us from that Christ-shaped hope, that Christ-shaped utilization of our energies, that Christ-shaped sense of identity, that Christ-shaped purpose, those things, those attacks to deflect us from these things, are encountered in the massive events like what happened on Friday in New Zealand. And at that level, that national level, with all the grief and the shock and the horror, needs to be met. And it needs to be met with the type of resolve we have experienced through the New Zealand Prime Minister. And I know that you will all be praying for her and for the people of that nation, particularly those affected by the tragic events of Friday. But that great battle that we're engaged in is also experienced in the day-to-day, the mundane, the routine, the encounters that we have with people who we rub up against as well as walk alongside of. Just in the normal course of our existence, not in the spectacular. And the challenges are just as real, however much more subtle. How do I respond? What do we do with our baptism in these moments when the battle is no less real and the shape is the same, even if in a minute context rather than a massive context? as Jesus faces his Friday of suffering, he laments over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, stone those who are sent to you. How often have I desired to gather your children together like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. And see, your house is left to you. You know, in the course of living our normal daily life, so often the battle seems to be about beating that other person who's obstructing my designs and my intentions, about winning the situation in the verbal interplay that's going on, the contest of egos, the conflict of ideas and agendas. And we think that's where the battle is. Getting that other person to see it the way I know is the truth. But that's not the real battle. The battle is always at heart much more about the battle within me as much as it is about the battle with the other. In the words of Jacinda Ardern, you can hear that internal battle is just as important as the external one in the words she used. And in Jesus, the internal battle is absolutely paramount. There's a story in the New Testament where two disciples say to Jesus, "When you come into your glory, can we sit at your right and your left hand?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Can you drink the cup that I have to drink?" And they said, "We can." When I was baptized at the age of 17 in the Shepparton Baptist Church, the predominant thing that impacted on my mind was, this is total immersion. Everything I have is at this point submerged in Christ. Everything belongs to him. And then the rest of life is spent trying to understand what that means. In fear and trembling for the times I've got it wrong. And fear and trembling of the times I might get it wrong in the future, lest I get it wrong again. The Bible uses the imagery of that great battle, Armageddon. But that battle isn't something far off in some indeterminate distant future, removed from me by the accident of perhaps thousands of years. It happens here, it happens every day, in the minuscule day-to-day things that we encounter in the normal course of our life. And it happens in the titanic national events that confront us. Jesus seemingly travelled to Jerusalem with no weapons, no defences against either the power of the temple or the might of Rome. But there was a different battle going on than the one that seemed to be obvious for the hearts and the minds of the people around him. It was the same great battle that was being enjoined when straight after his baptism he went off into the wilderness, probably in a way asking exactly that question: what am I going to do with my baptism? There were no swords or spears. There was no weapons. There was no shields obvious in that battle either. There was no external enemy to project it out onto to imagine that that's where the battle lies. But the same question was being addressed by Jesus as faces us in the macro of New Zealand's Golgotha of yesterday, of Friday, or the microcosm of who you and I speak to on Monday morning. And the battle is no less real for want of weaponry. It's the object under scrutiny with Jesus' lament over Jerusalem. How often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers its chicks, and you wouldn't come. It's the object under scrutiny in Jacinda Ardern's words. And those values, I can assure you, will not and cannot be shaken by this attack. It's the same object under scrutiny in Nigel Uden's questions to us at Synod yesterday. What have you done with your baptism? And it's the same object under scrutiny as you and I walk through our Lent journey towards Good Friday. It's the question Jesus asks of James and John. Can you drink the cup that I have to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Because even though he was taken captive and prisoner, even though he was beaten and crucified, Jesus won that battle on Good Friday. And the resurrection was the ultimate symbol of that victory that he won. New Zealand is facing a Good Friday moment in which diversity, kindness, compassion, a home for those who share our values, refuge for those who need it, the wings being outstretched, is being tested. We pray for them as they face and encounter this terrible test, and pray they succeed. Not in the obvious battle that can be measured in the newspapers, but in the world they create in their hearts and in their minds, and then in their community. Jacinda said, "We were not a target because we are a safe harbour for those who hate. We were not chosen for this act of violence because we condone racism, because we are an enclave for extremism. We were chosen for the very fact that we are none of these things." And Jesus was similarly targeted because he was, even more so, none of these things. The title of Nigel's address on Saturday was "Blessed to be a Blessing." So what will you do with your baptism? It's a question I leave with you and myself this morning as we travel the Lenten journey towards Good Friday, towards Golgotha. In a moment, I want to leave you with some silence for a bit, and Rosemary's going to start playing the music for the hymn, "Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair." Lord, in our suffering world, this is our